The aim of Black Mental Matters is to tell experiences with honesty. Therefore, some discussions may trigger an adverse reaction. If a discussion is beginning to upset you, we advise that you please stop listening and talk to your support team.
It's Vince the Voice Bailey, and this is Black Mental Matters, where myself, along with Makiba Reed Johnson and the entire team, we work to eradicate that stigma as it relates to mental health in the Black community. And me personally, man, I just love all kinds of people. I have had the blessings, the fortune to be able to interact with all types. And so I'm just, you know, concerned with, of course, my Black community, but also how others deal with mental health in their communities. And we had a young man to reach out to us, originally from Cuba, now living down in Florida, Latino brother, Joaquin Martinez. And we just want to discuss with him. He's a licensed, a social worker, specialized at marriage counseling, dealing with the Latino community, and we want to experience that and begin to build these cultural partnerships so that we can all come up together. Because, you know, brown mental matters, yellow mental matters, red mental matters, and this, of course, is Black mental matters. If we can all bring it together, it all matters. You know what I'm saying? It starts right now. It's Black Mental Matters with Vince Bailey and Makiba Reed Johnson. How you doing, Makiba?
I'm doing pretty good, Vince. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm Patch Adams today. I got a little eye thing going on,
oh, no.
But I don't want to scare people, so I said,
okay.
Put the patch. But I'm doing fine. Everything, you know, is everything. I just want to commend you again. I was listening to NPR this morning, and once again, the topic was, guess what? The active shooter thing that we talked about on the phone the other day, and
that's
then.
Right.
Did a mini cast, you know, and how it's been traumatizing the kids, and as we ascertained that they need to get some mental health professionals mm-hmm. involved in that, right?
Exactly. I think I was listening to the same radio show while I was on my way over here. I heard that same thing of parents, teachers, and students, you know, saying that the actual active shooter drill was more traumatizing than it was helpful.
Yeah. And seems like they're realizing it too. And so kudos on that. That's why
Absolutely.
We're Black Mental Matters.
Right.
And not only, you know, again, this show is Black Mental Matters. We want to address the stigma in the African-American, the Black community. But it is something, and when we say we're not alone, you know, that you're not alone if this is something that's going on in your life. But not only are you not alone in your household, you're not alone on this earth, because cross-culturally,
right.
people are dealing with the same kinds of stigmas. In fact, sometimes even more so.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you're bringing that up, because these are things that are being dealt with in each community,
mm-hmm.
in marginalized communities in particular. You know, the thing that with mental health, we just have not had a chance to have a discussion about it, because we've got so many other issues mm-hmm. that we're dealing with culturally, that it kind of takes us some time to peel back those layers and realize, okay, now is the time that we need to start having some conversations about this.
That's right. And when you look, I was doing some research, you know, and
mm-hmm.
what was it? In the Asian American community, they did a big study. Only 12% of Asians would even mention that there were mental health, that they were having some mental health issues to a friend or a relative, 12% versus 25% of whites.
Right.
A meager 4% of Asians would even seek help from a psychiatrist or a specialist. Only 3% of Asians would seek help from a physician, even, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wow. And
yeah.
then, you know, the Latin American community, Hispanic Americans, along with Asians, they see people with mental health issues as being dangerous.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. And I think we also need to, as, you know, we talk about mental health in the Black community, we need to make sure that we're reaching across the aisle and embracing
yes.
our brown brothers and sisters, because with all of the talk about, you know, immigration and the pressure put on, you know, immigrants and people of color that are trying to come over here for a better life, and the trauma that they're seeing and they're feeling, and the marginalization and the discrimination that they're seeing, you know, we need to, you know, cross arms with them and link up with them and for us to step over and realize this is not just about us, right. but we need to also let other communities know, hey, you know, we need to start having conversations about this because there is strength in numbers.
It's amazing that you said, you know, the immigration, because people don't realize, I mean, that is a traumatic experience. Absolutely. I mean, just like in the Black community where we, you know, had to deal with the trauma of slavery and, mm-hmm. and discrimination, Jim Crow and all that. But when you also talking about, you know, maybe riding a boat all across the way here mm-hmm. or in the Asian community, you know, living in Cambodia where there's war going on right. and you're trying to escape. And then when they get here to America, some of the statistics show that, you know, there's a euphoria when you first get here, mm-hmm. but then America settles in and then right. you start getting some mental health issues like, oh my God, it ain't what I thought it was.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's the bursting of the bubble.
Bursting of the bubble.
Yeah. When we start to realize, you know, a lot of people that are coming over here to seek a better life are, you know, being made to feel like they don't belong here.
Right.
And that has an impact on young adults and children in particular.
Right, right, right. Another big one is First Nations mm-hmm. People, you know, the Native Americans, right. our Indians here in America, the Native Americans in Canada, the Aborigines, mm-hmm. you know, where they also big trauma. And I mean, you can see if you've ever been to Cherokee, North Carolina or some of the Indian reservations, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of mental health issues, a lot of substance abuse issues.
Right.
So this thing is not just, you know, so here we go, Black folks. We're not alone in this thing.
No, we're not.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. This is collective, and it's time for us to start having conversations across communities.
I think the term I saw was cultural partnerships.
Oh, I like that.
Cultural partnerships, as opposed to or in addition to the cultural competence.
Right.
Cultural. I'm getting good
Man,
at this. I've been hanging around you too long. You know what I'm saying? Been hanging around you too long. But what's also great, though, is that we have been getting correspondence from mm-hmm. people, you know, across the board.
Right.
White, Black, Asian, Hispanic, mm-hmm. you know, who have tuned in or listened and said, yeah, you know, we're kind of going through this same kind of thing. And I think that's very, very powerful. Huh?
I think it is, too, for us to realize that the common thread is mental health.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so we have a surprise for everyone. We're going to take a small pause for the cause. We have one of our Latin brothers who has dedicated his life. And that's what we want. We want in our community, the Black community, young people to take on this challenge. He's accepted the challenge, and when we come back, Joaquin Martinez.
Absolutely.
I'm
excited.
I love that. Joaquin. All right. Stand by, everybody. It's Black Mental Matters.
Cool.
Welcome back. It's Black Mental Matters with Vince DeVoice and Makiba Reed Johnson. And again, today, Makiba, we're crossing the borders. We're talking about, again, the, you know, cultural diversity in the mm-hmm. world of mental health. Black folks, we're not the only ones. And you have a special guest that's joining us. Introduce your guest.
Sure. I would like to introduce our Black Mental Matters audience to Joaquin Martinez. Joaquin Martinez reached out to us via Twitter. Mm-hmm. So welcome to the program, Joaquin.
Hi, Makiba. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So, Joaquin, the man, it's a pleasure to meet you all the way in Florida. And so tell us your story, man. Originally from Cuba, and now you're a licensed marriage counselor. So tell me your story, man, of how you got here.
Sure. So first, licensed clinical social worker.
So that's how I do
marriage counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely describe myself as a marriage counselor because a lot of times people don't really know what I do until I say marriage counselor.
Right.
But I am originally from Cuba. I was born in Havana, and I came to the United States at 5 years old. So we left Cuba when I was 5, and I got here when I was 6.
Mm.
So you can imagine already how long that took for us to get
here.
Wow. You ain't kidding.
One night, in the middle of the night, my mom tells me that we're going to America, just out of nowhere. And I'm 5 years old, so I'm thinking we're going to get on a spaceship or something to go to America.
Mm.
And my mom puts us on a boat in the middle of the night. My brother and a couple of other family members, it might have been like 17 of us in a very small boat. And we just, you know, drift off into nothing, really, because that's what you see when you're out there in the ocean.
Wow.
And I remember throwing up a lot in that night. Mm. And I remember we got into a storm. And the next day, we were intercepted by the U.S. Coast Guard. During that time, this was 1995, the U.S. Coast Guard was, you know, roaming around the water searching for Cuban refugees. And they took us in, and we were then taken to Guantanamo for 6 to 8 months, something like that, after that.
And what Guantanamo, that's Guantanamo Bay, the place we hear about so much in the news.
Correct. We were at a refugee camp there. For about six, it might have been 9 months, really. Because that we left in February, we got here in October. So that time frame.
Wow. So fast forward from what a journey that was. Your family, did everyone make it here safely first? Let me ask that question. Did everyone make it safely?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thankfully we did. The great thing, well, I mean, the difficult part about coming to America was that when we got to America, we were left at Miami Airport, and the U.S. government told us, hey, you know, welcome to America. Here's America. Now, you know, go out there now and live your life. Mm. And that's basically what we had to do. We were homeless for another 6 months after that because we didn't have anyone. We didn't have any family. We didn't have any resources in the community. So we basically just were living off of whatever we could at that moment.
Wow. Wow. And so would you say that that experience as a child is what propelled you into being now a counselor for others, that you know, the what you went through, you know, you wanted to help others as a result?
So that definitely started it. But one thing that definitely kind of stuck out to my mind as I was growing older was our first Thanksgiving. For us, Thanksgiving is a very big deal. And the reason why is because our first Thanksgiving, so we're here in October, November's coming up, and I just started school. You know, it's a six-year-old now. And I'm explaining to my parents what Thanksgiving is about, because we don't have Thanksgiving in Cuba, you know. And I'm explaining to them what we're supposed to do, the feast that we're supposed to have. And my parents, of course, aren't telling me that we don't have the resources to have this feast for Thanksgiving. No, they don't want to tell me, because at that point we're, you know, using food stamps, and we're, you know, kind of using the little bit that we can to survive daily. And the amazing thing that happened was that a group of community members in our apartment got together and literally created our first Thanksgiving by giving us a cornucopia of food.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
And that's how we had our first Thanksgiving.
So
to us, Thanksgiving is not about the, you know, pilgrims coming over and things like that. To us, it was about the people in our community helping us understand, you know, sharing and being together.
I love the way you said cornucopia.
Yes.
So that sounded like a lot of good food, man. Y'all just that's what's up.
It was great. It was great. So that stuck to me. That stuck to me throughout my life, and I knew I wanted to help people. I knew I wanted to have an impact on people. I just didn't know how.
Well, one of the,
that's kind of how I ended up in counseling.
I'm so glad that you did make this decision, and Makiba was so impressed with the work that you've been doing and things. And so, you know, one of the questions that I have, and I think that a number of our audience would have for you, you know, is there a some things that are, say, unique to, because you're be considered what, a Latin American or Hispanic American? What is the correct nomenclature, I should say?
I like Latin. I like Latino. Latinx is a good name too, now that a lot of Latino people are using Latinx.
Right.
So kind of differentiate between the A, the Latino and Latina. Mm-hmm. Cuban works too, you know. It's all the same to me, honestly.
It's all the same.
I don't like to use the word Hispanic.
Right.
That's the only word I don't like to use.
Okay.
That's a made up word. I know. That's a made up word.
Yeah, it's kind of a Spanish word.
Okay.
So, you know, in the Latino community, just like in the Black community, there are some things that are kind of specific, you know, or some things that are common. What would you say are some of the issues that are different, you know, than, say, in the Black community, for the Latino community, as it relates to mental health, relationships, those kinds of things?
I don't know, because I think a lot of it is very similar. I think maybe one of the bigger differences is that you see that you don't really hear talked about so much, but you see it more when you're in the Latino community, is the inner racism within Latino communities. Kind of like you have that kind of instilled racism from colonialism, really, when you're thinking about, you know, the lighter you are, the better the person is.
Colorism.
Mm.
Yeah. So maybe that's a little bit more influenced, I would say. But everything else, I mean, you would see about the same, honestly, because you see the same, you still see the same mental health disparities. Mm-hmm. You know, you see the same health disparities. You know, these are all things that are co-occurring.
Right.
I would say.
Right. You know what, Joaquin, what I think is so interesting about the work that you do is when you're thinking about couples counseling, and mm-hmm. mental health and therapy, is that it is difficult enough to deal with your own stuff. And so,
you know,
so when you're single and you've got mental health issues, that's like, you know, one whole set of problems right there. When you merge with another individual and then that individual's mm-hmm. got their problems that they have mm-hmm. not been normalized as far as, you know, talking about things and, you know, addressing trauma, then you've got two people that are coming together that are trying to address mental health and, you know, and life and love and relationship. And so what I think is interesting in the work that you do is I am just really impressed with just the fact that you can get couples together on the same page to agree to sit down and not only talk about their personal stuff, but also talk about the intimacy and the issues that they're having in their relationships. And at the beginning of the podcast, when we were kind of talking off the air, you mentioned, you know, that part of the barrier to, you know, couples seeking counseling is that they don't want people in their intimacy. They don't want people to know, or they don't want anyone, you know, in their personal business, you know, sex and, you know, lack of sex or physical violence, mm-hmm. even, you know, like these are things that are very, very personal. And these are things that people don't like to even admit to themselves sometimes that they have an issue with. So I just want to just hear from you, you know, how you are convincing couples, you know, to not only make it to therapy, but to continue coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely, Makiba. I think one of the things that I do is that I'm very real with all of my clients. Mm-hmm. I'm me.
Yeah.
And I tell that to my clients. I said, hey, I'm me. What you're going to get is you're going to get a lot of me. So I'm going to be real with you. I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to tell you what I feel. And I'm not always right.
Mm.
I'm not always right. What I am going to do is help you communicate with your significant other in the best way possible.
Awesome.
That's what I'm going to do. Because I find that a lot of couples, what they do is they often lack that understanding of each other or lack the ability to communicate with each other.
Now, wait,
so I really have, go ahead.
No, I thought that was just a black problem.
You see? That happens a lot, man.
Yeah.
It's so incredible that I'm here just, you know, helping couples just understand each other in a better way and really get to know each other in a deeper, more meaningful way.
Mm.
So the way that I can, you know, connect with guys and tell them, hey, listen, I went through some very similar things and I'll share parts of my life. I know a lot of counselors don't believe in sharing parts of their lives, but I think, you know, that's just me being genuine about who I am. And I tell them, I went through something very similar. And, you know, this is the thing that I've done. Let's, you know, talk about this now. Let's have this open space where we can share and create.
I actually love that approach, Joaquin. You're the first therapist that I've actually seen be very transparent with, you know, their own background and their own history with things that went wrong or could have gone better in their own relationship, because when you bring yourself to the table, it allows people to let their walls down.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so
Correct.
Much for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's important that I think a lot of times in therapy, at least through mainstream media, therapy seems like the therapist is the person who knows it all.
Right.
The expert, you know, you come to this person to get fixed, if you will.
Mm. Right.
But in my sessions, I tell people I'm just a normal person just like you.
Joaquin, man, I am so excited about you. And you're a young man, and you're taking on this challenge. And we want to encourage, as part of our mission, we really want to encourage others in the black community, young folks, you know, to pursue a career in this. So when we come back, we're going to take mm-hmm. a small pause for the cause. And I want you to help us out, man. Help us encourage some of our folks and so much more. So stay right there, everyone. This is Black Mental Matters. It's Black Mental Matters once again, and Vince and Makiba, and we are on the line with a new great friend, and he's doing such great things down in Orlando, Florida, Joaquin Martinez. How you doing, Joaquin?
Hey, still doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
You're still doing great. That's awesome, man. And so, again, we're reaching across because we're talking about those cultural partnerships. And Joaquin being a Cuban, Latino, you know, he the man with the plan. And he got everything in his hand down in Orlando. You see how I did all that?
I see.
That's pretty good.
He told me earlier he had some Nigerian in him, you know, and everything.
Hey,
you know. Hey, well, you know, I mean, I'm silly at the same time, Joaquin, but I'm serious, and I love me some Latin folks, man. I don't like your food, but but I love me some Latin folks, man. Got flavor and just do things, and you know, and of course, you know, these days it's all about work ethic, you know, and so there, you know, people say what they want to say, and I will share this with you that when I first moved here to Georgia, I was really upset about them talking about folks who were at the Home Depot trying to get work. But I've seen men go from at the Home Depot standing around to get some work to starting their own business to having their own conglomeration going on. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I like that Latin work ethic, man. So tell me about your clientele. I mean, is your clientele mainly people of color, or talk about that?
So I target a lot of minorities because of the mental health disparities and because of the disparities in relationship counseling. Mm. So I target a lot of minorities. My clientele is pretty spread even.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say where specifically with my Latino clients is a lot of times they feel more comfortable with me because first of all, I'm Latino as well.
Right.
But second thing is I speak the language that they speak.
Right.
Mm. Which makes counseling for them intimate a whole different level.
Mm.
So when we're in the middle of the session now, you know, they want to speak English and now they want to code switch to Spanish, and I can understand exactly what they're saying. I'm right there with them without having to, you know, kind of get or ask for a translation or have them try to translate. So a lot of my Spanish speaking clients feel very comfortable with me because of that aspect.
That is awesome. That's awesome. I also noticed, Joaquin, that in your bio or on your Insight Counseling website that you do counseling for, you know, same-sex couples, non-binary couples, trans couples, mm-hmm. non-gender conforming couples. And I really appreciate it. I noticed in your email that you sent me that you did give me your pronouns. I think it's really important.
I saw that too.
Yes, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for that, because in communities of color, we have so much transphobia, you know, so much homophobia that we forget that we have couples that are not comfortable seeking therapy because they don't feel like they'll be welcome. They think that everything is heteronormative when it comes to mental health and different practices and approaches and treatment to, you know, mental health and counseling. So thank you so much for making sure that you're putting out there that you are open to having all couples, no matter who you are, no matter who you love, no matter who you are in a relationship with, that you are available to them to help them with their relationship.
Well, I'll be honest with you. To be honest, I wish I didn't have to put that because it should be understood.
Absolutely.
But unfortunately, it isn't. I remember one of my couples, one of the same-sex couples, Latino couples, they reached out to me and they said, hey, do you accept, you know, same-sex couples? And I'm like, absolutely. What are you talking about? Yes. You know, I didn't think of it twice.
Right.
And they told me, like, no, we've just been having difficulty finding a couples counselor that mm-hmm. will, you know, accept us. And that's when it hit me that I need to make sure I put this out there more so people can feel safe and secure and, you know, coming. Because I think as counselors, we should be inviting of anyone, honestly.
Absolutely.
You used the word, what was that word? Heteronormative?
Yes.
What did you say?
Heteronormative, yeah.
Heteronormative.
Yes, and that's the assumption that everyone around you is heterosexual.
Mm.
Because when you think of couples counseling, you think about a man and a woman.
Right.
And mm-hmm. Joaquin, and I love that you mentioned this too, that, you know, with, you know, some of that stereotype as well, Joaquin, you mentioned that when you think about a therapist, you're thinking about a white woman about 56 years of age. So, so when you think about couples therapy, you are not thinking about, you know, a non-binary person and a trans person of color with a Cuban counselor. I mean, like, this is awesome. So thank you so much for challenging these stereotypes.
And I think it's really important, honestly. That's why even on my website, when I have a new website that just built up recently, it's insightcounseling.com. At this website, when I was building it, the person that was building it for me originally built it and had a bunch of white couples on the pictures.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I immediately, you know, emailed them back. I'm like, hey, listen, I need some corrections. I need to show some diversity in my couples, because I, you know, I help diverse clients.
Right.
I want my clients to feel understood and feel welcomed through the pictures that they see on their website.
Right.
And, you know, thankfully we've done, you know, some, not as much as I want to, so I got to get back to them and get more. But, you know, it's called a reflection of, you know, who we are.
Absolutely.
Joaquin, again, you're a young man, and you have gotten into this career. We want to encourage in the Black community, young professionals to get into this career as well. Has this been a fulfilling? I mean, is this, could you give some words to those young folks out there, man, that could encourage them to take on this wonderful career in the community?
I think one of the most important things is that being a therapist sometimes can seem as a daunting career. Because, you know, you have to go through graduate school, and, you know, then you're, as a therapist, you feel like you're in a position of helping out with, you feel like you're in a position that you're supposed to know it all, basically. You're supposed to help and be all-knowing. And the reality is, I talk to a lot of young therapists, and I tell them, hey, listen, you don't know it all. You're not supposed to know it all. And talk to your clients about that. Have that open conversation. You know, so, you know, kind of getting away from that daunting feeling, and really just, you know, if you want to help out somebody, do the best that you can. That's all that will ever matter, honestly.
Okay.
All that will ever matter is do the best that you can and you genuinely feel for the person.
Absolutely. And can I just ask you one more question, Joaquin? I'm always interested in how healers and therapists, what do you do for your own self-care? How do you come home after, you know, 8-10 hours of hearing other people's problems and disconnect from that and take care of yourself without taking on everybody else's problems? Because that's one reason why some people don't want to get into counseling, is because they're, you know, a lot of people are empaths and they feel like they can't turn that off once they've been given someone else's energy. So what do you do for your own self-care, and how do you balance all this?
You know, that's a great question. That's something that my wife and I have worked on for many years, because actually she's a therapist as well.
Oh, wow.
So you can already imagine that household.
Oh. I love that.
Yeah, but we work on that continuously. That's something that we continuously do. So when we get home, you know, work is done. If we need to process something, we'll help each other out. And we'll say, hey, listen, I need you to listen to me for a minute. Can you listen to me about this? And that way we can process and help each other out through it. But after that, that's it. You know, we have multiple things going on. You know, we got a baby on the way, so we got all the things to worry about.
Congrats.
You know, so we make sure that we're constantly in the moment. Thank you.
Wow. Awesome. Well, I have a great wife, too, but she's not a therapist, so I call him a Cuba, man. I ain't going to lie to you.
We cry together on the phone.
Vince, you need to slow
down. That's exactly what's needed sometimes.
Right.
Good. I'm glad you do that, Vince.
Well, listen, Joaquin, we're running out of time, man, but could you go ahead and how can people contact you and all that good stuff, man? What's the 411 to get a hold of Joaquin Martinez?
Yeah, sure. So you can find my information at Insight Counseling, that's E-N-C-I-T-E counseling.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm also on Twitter at @real_J Martinez, because I'm the real J Martinez, of course. And you can find me on Instagram as well, Insight Counseling.
See, young folks, they all tweeting and Instagramming and everything. That's how it's done these days.
Right, that's right.
That's how it's done.
Well,
Well, thank you again so much, man. And we wish you the best of everything, best of success and continued success. And I'm sure this won't be the last time we'll be interacting. Mm-hmm. My brown brother. So brown, you trying to tell me Brown Mental Matters too?
Oh,
We have Black Mental Matter, Brown. Don't you take that? I already do. Brown Mental Matters, Black Mental Matters. All of us matters, and we're gonna really push more on this cultural partnerships, Makeba. Who knows? You know what we're gonna have next. But as long as they're good folks like Joaquin, I think we got a bright future ahead.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Joaquin. We really appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right, man. I'm throwing up your peace sign, and God bless, continued success, and we'll see everyone next time. Hope you enjoyed it. It's Black Mental Matters. Take care.